recorded live.
Hello, everyone. This is Carl Shinneman, president and founder of ReviewLess and a friend of Jurnov. And welcome to another edition of ESI Bytes, where we offer information from national speakers on electronic discovery at a price everyone can afford, which is free, and available when they're interested in listening to it, which is basically when you hit play on your iPod, iPad, computer, or whatever device you've downloaded the show onto. Today we have a real interesting show, which I'm thrilled to be doing. There's been a lot of press recently about the growing field of e-discovery certification. In general, the reaction by the legal community to offering special courses on e-discovery to offer certification has been mixed. But one might argue, with less than 40 law schools still offering e-discovery courses out of 170, where do we think we're going to get this next generation of e-discovery lawyers? I mean, with numbers like that, any solution being offered in the marketplace is going to be better, no better than Mick. So I'm happy to have on my show Ralph Losey, who I have yet to see anyone tag as being someone taking advantage of the underemployed to sell a certification of dubious value. Perhaps one of the reasons is Ralph has spent many years providing free insights to anyone who cares to read his extremely well-known eDiscovery blog, eDiscovery team. He's also taken a page from ESI Byte's playbook by creating his training content by enlisting the support of many of the industry's most knowledgeable participants who've helped him develop the curriculum. And while people disagree with the value of certifications in the space generally, they really don't disagree that we need more educated lawyers practicing in the space. So at least Ralph's trying to do something is what I say. So let's the marketplace decide if there's a market for the service. To introduce Ralph, who really needs little introduction, he's an attorney, author, and educator in the field of electronic discovery, electronic records, and information technology law. Ralph's a partner at Jackson Lewis, where he serves as the firm's National E-Discovery Counsel and chair of its Electronic Discovery Practice Group. He's limited his practice to electronic discovery-related issues since 2006. He's a prolific author on e-discovery, having written four books and four major articles in the past 4 years. His fourth book is going to be released in 2011 by Wes Thompson. His three prior books are Electronic Discovery, New Ideas, Trends, Case Law, and Practices from Wes 2010, Introduction to e-discovery, ABA 2009, and e-discovery Current Trends and Cases, ABA 2008. Ralph is also one of the top e-discovery experts in the country. He's an adjunct professor at the University of Florida College of Law, teaching e-discovery, advanced e-discovery, and online e-discovery. You know, his blog that I mentioned earlier now averages 400,000 visits each year. He's created the first online law course on electronic discovery and evidence, which is offered by the University of Florida College of Law as a three-credit course. And Ralph is one of my mentors originally early on with ESI Byte, so it's always great to have you back on the show, Ralph. And it's been too long. This is your fourth show with us now to talk about the education venture. So first of all, as an entrepreneur, I congratulate you on making your vision a reality. And maybe you could tell us to start off where you first got the idea for building these courses.
Well, thank you, Carl. It's always a pleasure to be here. Before I launch off on education, I should have updated you. In fact, I should have sent you a copy of my new book. It is out now. It's called Adventures in Electronic Discovery. That actually was published back in May of this year, Wes Thompson. So, and in fact, I'm halfway through writing my fifth book. It's just when you write a blog every week, basically I package that blog and make it into the book. So it's a never-ending process. And I kind of got this idea as an outgrowth of my work as a writer and teacher. Not only do I teach, you know, law students, and that's kind of a payback thing to my alumni, University of Florida, but you know, for like every lawyer in a law firm, I'm teaching other lawyers all the time. Teach associates. I've been teaching associates 25 years. Been in a law firm over 30 years, and it's just part of the practice. And it seems like I was the only guy that knew about electronic discovery because I was the only lawyer that had been playing with computers in basically my whole life. So it, you know, kind of came natural to me. And I learned that there's only so much, though, you can do just by writing a blog and writing books and teaching in, you know, my own law firm. Then going around the circuit, which I've done now for It's been 5 years, Carl, believe it or not, where I've been going around doing CLEs. Got permission from my law firm back in 2006 at the time, Akerman Centerfit. They agreed to allow me to stop my other practice and just focus on e-discovery, for which I'm very grateful. And ever since then, for 5 years, I have limited my practice to electronic discovery, and part of that is teaching internally in my firm and outside, and then going around these endless CLEs everywhere and pretty much all over the country, like many people do, yourself included. You know, we've paid our dues, we've tried to teach the bar, but I got pretty frustrated about the limited ability to impact people in a CLE event. I was able to impact students in law school because, you know, geez, I had them for 3 hours a week for a good, couple of months. And that's a lot of time. That's 50 hours talking at them, giving them homework assignments, another 100 hours of homework assignments. So in 150 hours, I was able to impact these law students. And I'm proud to say we've got some of the finest lawyers in the country out there now, young lawyers that know e-discovery. But the bottom line is there's very few law schools like that. You mentioned 40. By the way, most of those 40, they may offer 1-2 credit course like once a year. And so they're only impacting 20 students a year. Bill Hamilton and I at the University of Florida, we got it up, maybe two of us teaching together, we'd get up to 40 students. But that's still a limited number. And, you know, there's only so many people you can impact in your law firm, so that's a limited number. And I felt that talking at the CLE events wasn't really making an impact like I was able to make in the law school and in my own firm. And so, you know, I started thinking, what can I do to make a real difference to the bar? Because the need is strong, because I just don't think the regular CLEs are getting there. And that's where I got the idea to kind of combine everything together and develop a new kind of online training program where I could give people the 50 to 150 hours of intensive study that it really takes to learn this complicated, convoluted area of law that you and I are in, e-discovery.
Yeah, that's great. And actually, with all the work you're doing with students, I should probably mention this fall, we're sending out emails in the next week letting everyone know that lawblogreview.org is launched. Alex Schusterman is a law student in Pittsburgh, and Hunter McMahon, who just graduated, built a website with me to help law students collaborate and talk about their ideas after taking courses with professors like yourself so that they can form a network and bounce ideas and be found. So that's up and going to get started actively this fall. So couldn't do it without your hard work, though. You're definitely very helpful in getting the marketplace out there.
Oh, that's terrific. Good idea.
So, in terms of the course that you've developed, what courses did you start with first, or did you just basically say, I have the vision, here are the 85 courses?
Well, no, I mean, it started smaller. I started work on this, it's been over two years, maybe 2.5 years now when I got the idea and started work on it. And my original idea was not to do this myself at all. I don't have time for this. I'm a full-time practicing attorney in a large law firm. I wanted to have the idea and have other people do it for me and just be up there big picture guy. And so I started talking with a major vendor whose name will be, a keep secret. And we worked it out as a business model, a big vendor. And they were going to come in, and I would direct it, and they were going to build it. I had an idea of how to do it. We were going to come in with $1 million marketing campaign, and this was going to be a big deal. And I worked with them for a good 9 months. At the end of the day, they loved the idea. Some people did in the company, but it was just too radical a change to go online. And so I learned that dealing with large corporations can be frustrating because it's difficult to get them to make a decision and be entrepreneurial and take a chance and do something different. So I put a lot of time and effort into it, and we parted our ways amicably. You know, I owned everything. There was no question about that. They just weren't ready to do it. And I decided, you know, I had gone, was already pregnant, so to speak, and so I was damned if I was going to give up, and decided, you know what, I can do this myself. I can hire some people. I can do this myself. And so this was about last summer, and I created a test course. I talked to the dean at the University of Florida, Dean Jerry and Dean Page. I said, let me try it out on our law students. And that was quite a task right there. But there, you know, University of Florida, they're creative. And they see the NYU has already gone online for their master's program in tax, by the way. NYU is creative. And so they said, okay, let's do it. And I became the first online academic course, 3-credit academic course on any discovery, one of the first in the country that was a full 3-credit substantive course. And we used our University of Florida law students as guinea pigs. Went through it, was well received. It was probably a lot harder than most students had anticipated. And so that's when it first kind of went on a test phase, was the summer of 2010. I learned from that. I changed things around, added things, and we then went out to, on the non-academic world, a different version. We started just in January of this year, 2011. So I had a lot of people, you know, kind of helping me, encouraging me along the line, but I never intended to do this myself. It was just sort of something I'm too damn stubborn to give up on anything once I start it. So I decided, okay, I'm going to do it myself.
Is there a path you suggest or curriculum, or do people have the option of doing an a la carte offering of courses?
They do. They have an a la carte option. I don't really recommend that. There is definitely a set program that we recommend people do it in the chronological order that it's set out. It's now built up to 5 sections. And, you know, it's our recommendation that you take it in this order that I've prepared and worked on with the benefit of my experience as a teacher. I think it's better to do it in that manner. But at the same time, we also tell students, look, that's one of the advantages of being online is that you can do it any way you want to. And if you are like, you cannot wait to learn about evidence, well, okay, you can jump to near the end and learn about electronic evidence. So I empower students, as I believe in, to, if they want to skip around. But most of them end up following, you know, the set program and do, you know, 1 through 84 now, 84 different classes. But if you want to, you can come in and just buy one class. If you just want to hear the excellent discussion by Judge Grimm on evidence, that's in 2 different classes, you can go in and buy 2 classes. But most students aren't doing that, and it's certainly a better deal if you buy it all at once. You know, it's $500 to buy all 84 classes.
Yeah, that's not breaking the bank. So that seems like a fair price. You know, 85 classes, student finishes. You know, what do they
84.
get from taking your course? I mean, do they have to pass certain levels and get certain grades? Is there a certification? Is there, I mean, what's the outcome?
No grades. I hate giving grades. You know, but as a law professor, I'm forced to do that, and then I'm forced to follow the university curve. And that's one of the things I don't like about being a professor, but that's it. You know, maintain standards, academic standards, you got to do it. I do love giving out the book award to the best student. That's a fun thing to do. But no, in my online course for non-law students, since I do not have to grade A through, you know, F, we don't. In fact, you can take the whole course without any test at all if you want to. The purpose of my program is not to give certification. I will offer a certificate of completion of the program successfully, and I will test people on a pass-fail basis, but only if they want to. And frankly, the cost of that is just as much as the program itself. It's $500 to take the courses and learn the material. That's my goal, teach the material. Give a person a guided study program where they're going to have the 75 now to 150 hours of intensive study so they'll learn the stuff. That's my goal, is to teach the stuff. But, you know, if you want to have something to prove that you took the course and that you passed it on a regular law school type exam, you can pay another $500 if you want to, and I will administer a test to you. It'll be just like I give to the law students. Of course, I changed the facts around, but a typical law student, hypothetical, convoluted facts, and you apply the law to the facts, and you write me a few essays. And after reading the 3,000-word essay that's, you know, there's a word limit on it, I'll know whether you've gotten it or not. And that's how I test people. There's no magic secret. If you fail, I'll tell you you failed, and I'll let you try again without an additional charge, and I'll keep all of that confidential, secret. My lips are sealed. It's anonymous. But I'm not worried about that. If you do the work, you will pass this test, because it's a lot of work. And believe me, it's something that any lawyer will get, any paralegal will get, any tech who's in the world of e-discovery, any salesperson, vendors are taking this. I really designed this for the broad spectrum of people that make up a modern electronic discovery law team. And my emphasis is always on team, as you know, Carl. That's the name of my blog, e-discovery team. I'm a big believer that the only way we can deal with e-discovery successfully is to stop thinking of this as just a one-man or one-woman operation, one sole associate lawyer dealing with production. You got to work with the team, with your vendors, with outside consultants, with IT, with lit support. You got to work with the team. And that's how I start off the program. That's my section one, Introduction to Electronic Discovery, the first 19 classes. I'm introducing people a broad overview of what the subject's about into this team approach, and other basic concepts are introduced to them in the first section.
Boy, Ralph, I thought of your next blog title or an article I might write if I get around to it. Every team needs a manager. But anyway, that's a whole other topic.
No, I mean, that's one of my classes, and I teach that you need a captain.
Yeah.
And you need a coach. And the role I play when I help out the discovery teams is not the captain, unless it's my own team. But in other teams, I'm like the coach. The coach teaches you the plays, but you execute. You know, so I like the team analogy, and I've, you know, that's part of the course and part of my way of thinking about things.
Okay, so now for the tough question here. You know, what do you say to critics that of offering fee-based education courses to attorney that it really doesn't offer many of them a benefit? I mean, the Law Technology News wrote a big article on a number of courses that were out there, and so there are some critics. Do you have a reaction to this?
Well, yeah, and you may remember I was interviewed as part of that series of Law Technology, and they asked me the same question, and I'm going to give you the same answer, and, you know, that is... I am not a critic on this, of course. I mean, there are different alternatives to my program, and I predicted that when I was the first to launch a program like this back in January. I predicted, you may remember my blog announcing it, that there would be many people that would follow just because it's a good idea.
Yep.
The time is right, and, you know, that's what happens when the time is right, and there's many people that try it. And, you know, consumers will just look at it and they'll, you know, sort of test the various things offered to them, and the market will decide. I believe that it should be an informed decision, which is why I offer my first five classes for free to anybody. So, you know, after five classes, it would be a good 4 hours of work for you to go through them, and you get a pretty good feel for what you're in for. So then you decide whether you want to pay the other 79. So I think part of it is to just, you know, make available, be transparent. We all preach transparency and e-discovery, same thing here. So I make the first five free, And then I went one step further when I refined this, and this is a, I'm still improving this thing, I think, back in April, where I set it up so that you could open the door of each of the classes, even the 79 that are pay only, and you could peek in. And you could look at like the first paragraph that sort of describes things, and you could get a fuller description rather than just the syllabus, which, there's a syllabus that gives like a one sentence description. So you can also go in and get a full paragraph, sometimes two paragraphs, introduction, kind of the beginning of the class. Well, that's something you can't do in law schools. You go try peeking in the door at a law school, the professor will yell at you. And by the way, law school's not free, and nobody criticizes law schools for charging tuition. I mean, any good service, you got to expect something significant like 50, 100 hours that there should be a fee to it. You don't go to CLEs and not expect to pay. What's wrong with getting payment for things? Aren't we America? Isn't this a free enterprise, home of free enterprise? What's wrong with entrepreneurship? I know you're one of the entrepreneurs of the year. I mean, I'm preaching to the choir with you, but I don't see anything to be embarrassed about to be charging for what I think is of value. And frankly, to be honest with you too, I'm not going to get rich doing this. I don't care to. I make a good living as a lawyer. But you know what? If you give stuff away, people tend to think it's not valuable. And I know this. I've been a pro bono lawyer too, and some of my most difficult clients have been people that I wasn't charging. I mean, you're taken advantage of. And so that's part of it. This is a real value that people are getting. $500 is a reasonable price for it. And I don't know what the other guys charge, but you should, if you want to consider theirs, you should ask to find out more about their program. It seems to me they have plenty of information, and you should make a decision. And there's the need is great. There's room for all kinds of people and all kinds of programs, including your excellent program that you're doing with ESI Bytes. I mean, this is all if it was a matter of oversupply, I might be concerned, but it's not. There's 95% of the lawyers out there don't really know about e-discovery or only know a little bit.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I've gone to a couple of CLEs nationally every year, and unless I'm speaking, the ones I speak on, it's great because I get to go in obviously for free. But if there's an event I want to go to and I got to spend $1,100 or something like that to go in, plus accommodations, et cetera, I don't find anything wrong with the price points. And in terms of comparing free versus fee-based, sure, the stuff I'm putting up is free, but I'm not spending more than an hour or two, and then I walk away. It's up there online. I know people want to read. It's like your blog, and there's a room for that too. But I think structure is important. I applaud you for taking the time to put some structure to give people some sense of how to attack the mass of information. So
Yeah,
you should get paid for that, I think. Anyway, or you wouldn't be able to do it.
well, it costs money too to put up these, to hire the developers, to get the website established, to run, to maintain it. All of this stuff costs money. And it's a hell of a lot cheaper than going to law school. And frankly, you're going to learn more in this course than you will in any law school in the world. I guarantee it, because I know. I'm the law professor at UF that offers more e-discovery than any other law school. The online program is more difficult than what I offer to law students. Not that law students couldn't handle it, but the law student has a limited amount of time to study. They've got to complete everything in 2, maybe 3 months in their semester, and they've got to finish it, and they've got four other classes. What I've designed was 75 classes. Well, if I made that into a law school type credit, this would be one and two, probably 6 to 7 hours of law school credit. It's huge. And the only reason that you can do this is that it's online. And the slogan that I came up with to kind of explain the benefit of online and why I think it is the future of training is that it allows students to study at their own time, their own place, and their own pace. And when you enroll, you have over 2 years to complete this program if you need it. It can be completed in 6 weeks if you're gung-ho and, you know, you don't have a life like me, you know, and you're just doing this full time. Or you may want to, you know, I think the average person's going to take 6 months to do it. If you want to spend a year, that's fine. If you want to spend the 2 years or you complete it and you want to keep coming back, that's cool too. You've got 2 years to do it. And so you can, if you're serious about learning more about it, if you're serious about career advancement, there is now a way. And it's a way of training first. Certification is secondary, but we will certify that you've completed the 84 classes and that you have, in my opinion, understood the material presented and passed on a pass-fail grade. Because some law firms or other people, they're paying their associates to attend this program. They're going to want to have proof that they actually attended it and got it, so they don't mind paying the extra $500 to test them. I mean, have you ever been to a CLE program anywhere in the country that ended with an exam at the end to make sure the attendees understood the material presented?
Never. So, well, you know, here one of the other things I think sometimes bothers people about this, and I saw this firsthand when I owned a typical employment staffing company in the legal space, that there's just too many people that want to help. And so, you know, you pass something like this, you know, can the people that have passed market their results to say that they're some type of a specialist? You know, I mean, what's your marketing advice for having gone through this?
Yeah, I mean, and I'm on record on this with Law Technology News. I don't think it's my place to certify competency, and I do not certify competency. I certify your successful completion of my course. There's a big difference. In my opinion, the job of specialty certification is in the bar associations. And I know that's the opinion of my bar, the Florida Bar Association. They have a group that certifies. There is no certification in electronic discovery, nor, frankly, is there likely to be within my career. You know, I'm 60 years old now. I'll maybe keep practicing another 10 years. I don't see it coming in Florida in 10 years. I don't see it coming in any state in 10 years. So in the meantime, we're going to have these other kind of, you know, my case, certify that you took the course. Or if you're lucky enough to go to the University of Florida or some of the other schools, you can say, look, I took a 2-credit course. There it is on my transcript. And so that's the kind of certification I will give, is I will certify that you successfully completed my course. Nobody, you know, I don't know enough, nor am I, do I have the delusions of grandeur to think I can certify anybody as, quote, an expert or a specialist. You know, another reason is it's just such a rapidly moving field. I mean, I believe I know all 9 steps in the EDRM. I think I'm, you know, up there, as you say, as an authority in the world on e-discovery and all 9 steps. But in each one of those 9 steps, I know a couple of people at least that know more about me in each one of those steps. And, you know, you'd have to have and who knows, in 10 years it may be 12 steps or maybe 5 steps. Who the hell knows? We're still in a rapidly evolving area. So, you know, I don't think the profession yet is ready for a specialty certification. And when it is ready, it'll happen the same way it happens with all the other fields of law, like construction law or healthcare law. It'll happen on the individual bar associations, or it may happen before that by a school like Florida or maybe Georgetown or somebody else like that may offer an LLM in electronic discovery. And who knows, maybe I'll do that after I retire and you get a master's degree. But that's how I think it'll probably come down.
Yeah, I used to, you know, I'd look at the numbers and say, you know, I only help maybe 3% of the people that actually ever came in and talked to my old company about finding a job. Okay, those numbers are pretty ugly. But, you know, once those people got a job, you know, through contracting, they had their foot in the door. It was up to them. You know, I just create another path for people to basically, you know, I'm very much a you make your own breaks type of person. So, you know, I mean, you add some ingredients together, you gain some knowledge, and then you show the knowledge on the job. You know, it's a matter of the individual to end up doing what they can with it. It's not passive, is all I'm saying. So, you know, I personally don't have issues with people paying and not getting the value because they probably, you know, didn't come up with a strategy to turn it into value. So anyway, law students are an interesting group. I mean, you know, some people are already taking, you know, maybe a few credit course. Would they get additional value out of also taking supplemental courses from yours? I mean, they might be a la carte people.
Law students, definitely. We have law students enrolled primarily in the vast majority of law schools where they don't have a course offered. Or sometimes, like in Florida, we've got a course offered, but, you know, we cap it. There's all kinds of students every year we have to say, no, I'm sorry, there's no room. So it's definitely, it's a good thing for law students. They can go through it quickly. The problem is, you know, they're busy studying other things to get through law school. So that may be, that's kind of the problem that law students have for it. No, it's there as a resource. And, you know, I've got law professors taking the course too. And, you know, I try to make it easy. I gave a group of students from one law school a big discount to check it out, give me their feedback, because I really value the input of law students. I mean, they're professional students, and they're most of them, you know, are very gung-ho, and they're all extremely bright. And so I have listened to them. I've adjusted my course accordingly. I have a lot of appreciation for the kind of input I've gotten for law students.
Do you, we talked about this a little bit before the show, do you have different curriculums based on the type of lawyer? For example, IP lawyer might want to get training in forensics or an insurance defense attorney in social media e-discovery or maybe a general course for a general practitioner. Do you break it down or any plans maybe to in the future?
Well, you and I were kicking around some possibilities. So
yeah, we always come up with ideas, Ralph. Maybe we'll...
maybe down the road. But right now, it's a general all-purpose. You know, when I apply for accreditation from the state bars that allow accreditation for online programs, and I've already gotten credit from Florida, Texas, California. I need to start the application in New York. Some states, you know, won't allow credit for an online course. They force you still to be in, bricks and mortar, face-to-face to get CLE credit. But so as part of the application, you have to classify it. And I classify mine as beginner to intermediate. You know, Carl, I'd love to have you take the course. I'll give you free admittance to check it out. But I don't really think that an expert like yourself is going to learn much. You know, you'd be amused by parts of it probably. You know, I'd hope you'd like my Star Trek animations and get a big chuckle out of it.
I always do.
You know, that's part of my course. I include that kind of stuff in there. But would you learn something? You know, yeah, hell, you probably all, I learn something every time, but it's not for you. You wouldn't learn much. Wouldn't be a value for you. You'd save your money and go to Georgetown. You know, you probably learn better at an advanced thing. But, you know, so it is designed for beginners and intermediate people. And it's designed for all types of lawyers. It's designed for all types of non-lawyers that have an interest in e-discovery. My first student signed up right away was in Germany, and it was a computer scientist, a PhD in computer science, that was interested in the subject and was thinking maybe of retooling and learning. He was an American computer scientist in Germany for some reason. I mean, I got people from all over the world, all different kinds of reasons that are interested in it. They love the fact I'm giving away the first five classes, so I got a lot of people signed up for the first free classes, paralegals, lawyers, students, techs, lit support, just smart people that are interested in it that maybe somehow or other are in the field or thinking of getting in the field. I mean, it's a great way to have a trained study program. You gotta be self-motivated. if you only learn by having somebody stand in front of you and talk at you, well, it's probably not the right course for you. But most people are not like that. Most people need to hear the videos that I'm seeing and the reading and self-study. And this is a guided program for all types of people, which is not to say that maybe a trial lawyer that's got a trial coming up next week might want to rush to the class that is talking about evidence. But you know what? A good trial lawyer had better also know about the first step in the EDRM. They'd better know about information management too. And so I purport to cover in this class A to Z. You know, it's pretty much all the kind of stuff I know on it. It is not, there's not one version for techs, another version for paralegals, another version for lawyers. It's, we're all dealing in the same world, I'm sorry, and you're all getting it on the same level. But the way I write, the way I teach, I think I teach so that a lawyer and a paralegal can both understand me, a tech can both understand me. I sure hope so, because I talk to these people every day. They're part of my life. You know, I'm a law firm lawyer. These are the people I deal with. I know all the vendors. I talk to them every day. I know the language. And so that's why I'm trying to offer a solution, one stop, one size fits all. But that's not to say someday we might have a graduate course. After you've completed this, if you want to get advanced studies in a particular area, information management, evidence, maybe review, something like that, maybe somewhere down the road. But right now I got my hands full getting the basic program off the feet, since, you know, I'm do not have the big corporate support or the big marketing budget that I had originally thought. It's basically all word of mouth, all kind of guerrilla marketing. And I hope listeners out there will tell their friends about it, or will go online and check it out. It's e-discoveryteamtraining, ediscoveryteamtraining.com. And basically, I'm relying on you for marketing. There's no fancy campaign. You won't be getting flyers and emails every day. But I'm hoping that when the dust settles, you know, the cream will rise to the top, and this program will do what I intend for it to do, and that is really teach in depth on the subject to thousands of people, not just the handful that I can reach as law students, or maybe the 100 I can reach as CLEs, but the thousands of people, because that's where the need is. I mean, we've got 100,000 lawyers that really need to do this. So if I can reach a few thousand, I think it'll be a mission accomplished.
One of the things that did impress me just looking at the curriculum is the number of experts that helped with the project. People like Judge Grimm, Facciola, Judge Shinlin, Craig Ball, Arianna Tadler. I mean, they're all people I've done podcasts with, so you know I respect them. But how did you go about getting them to contribute and help you with this project?
Well, you know, I paid my dues. I see them around. Most of those people I consider friends. I mean, they're just great people. And you know that. Mm-hmm. And trust me, it's a small community. There's not that many of us that really devote our heart and soul to this. And they know that I'm in it to teach. We teach together. And friends help friends out. That's what it's all about. That's the team approach.
And any types of results that you're seeing from the course thus far? You got hundreds of graduates or something like that, or, you know, people. I did see some testimonials on the site, so there's some people that seem to be happy.
Yeah, no, people
seem
to be
happy. They weren't named Ralph Losey, from what I could tell.
I get some complaints from the law students that are taking it, that it's so much work. And, you know, I feel sorry for them. They have a short time period to do it. I don't get those complaints from the people that have up to 2 years or more to do it, because, you know, it's their own time, their own place, their own pace. If you're a law student, you know, you got 6 weeks, 7 weeks to finish it. And so it's tough for them. And that's why, frankly, the version I have for the general public is harder. Not that the law students couldn't handle it, but they don't have the time. And so, you know, I'm listening and responsive to that. But law students, and by the way, law students are pretty critical. They don't hesitate to tell you, particularly when the class is over and you've already given them their grade.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I learned some stuff. They proofread it for me. They found a few errors, and, you know, I changed things from them. But it's also very encouraging to me. I mean, my son was in law school when I first started this, started working on it. He graduated before I went online with it at the University of Florida, but he went there. And so, I know him and I know his friends. So I know a lot of young people. He's married to a lawyer too. And so, I know that generation, and I know what a tremendous asset it has been to them to know about e-discovery. I mean, day one, walk into the law firm and be the guy that knows e-discovery. Oh my gosh, what a tremendous benefit that can be and is. And I hear that all the time. They said, "You wouldn't believe it. My first week in the law firm, I had a forensic project and I had to do this, and I was the kid that knew e-discovery." They remembered. Some of them, maybe that's why they hired him. I mean, I'm telling you, it's a huge opportunity for people who are starting afresh in law. Maybe they're young, maybe they're old, but they're going to law school, or maybe they're tired of doing tax law and they're retooling because they like computers or whatever. But it just gives you a tremendous edge, and that's the kind of thing that really encourages me. But I'm still driven. I'm not there yet. I'm not even in the hundreds of enrollment. I'm about at 500, almost have enrolled for the free classes. And why not? What do you got to lose? We're still, insofar as going for the other 79 classes, 84 altogether, probably got maybe a dozen or so folks is all. So, and it's just come, I just got it up to 84 back in July. So it's all new. It's all an opportunity. You can get in on the ground floor by doing it now. And, I won't be satisfied until we have thousands of people doing it. And so when the production request comes into the law firm and they throw it down to the lowest associate, that lowest associate will know what the hell they're doing and won't make a mess of it. And that, I'm here to help law firms. I'm here to help corporate law departments too, that also have a tremendous need for this. And I'm here to help the service industry, the thousands of salespeople out there that are selling this stuff, that really need to know more about the law in order to communicate well with the lawyers and paralegals they're selling to. And, let's not forget the paralegals. We all know they're the unsung heroes of e-discovery and the lit support people. They know the IT, and there's IT explanations in here. You get to hear Craig Ball, his terrific PowerPoint, million-dollar PowerPoint. But if you haven't gone to a CLE to see him, now you can see it. You can learn IT, what you need to know about IT to do the practice. And so maybe the IT people already know that, but IT folks don't know the law. Some of them think they do. But there's a whole lot of stuff that lit support people need to learn in order to be more effective, in order to position themselves for advancement in their firm or in their company.
Yeah, well, it's definitely useful to know this type of content's out there, and happy to help spread the word of education and e-discovery. Ralph, I want to thank you again for joining us here on the show to talk about the e-discovery education initiatives. It's always a pleasure to have you on your show to share your knowledge with us and our listeners, and hopefully we'll be able to do some more shows with you later this year.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity. Anybody listening to this, want to find out more about it, you can go to my blog, or you can also email me at ralph.losey@gmail.com, and I'll take a time at evening or weekends and respond to any questions you have. And so again, Carl, everybody in the community appreciates your putting on these shows and doing it for free, but I look forward to maybe recruiting you and have you part of a pay program sometime too.
That sounds great. And I also like to thank our sponsor, Journal, for their continued support of ESI Bytes. And to the listeners, if you've enjoyed this podcast, I'd encourage you to go to www.esibytes.com with a Y for a complete list of our show. You can also remember our show and website phonetically as Easy Bytes of ESI Information. However you choose to remember us, come to ESI Bytes to learn more about eDiscovery before ESI bites you back. This is Carl Shinneman, president and founder of ReviewLess, wishing you a nice day.